Welcome to Total Retail Talks, your podcast channel for retail knowledge.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Total Retail Talks. I'm Joe Keenan, the editor-in-chief of Total Retail, and I'm excited to be joined on this episode by Rob Robillard, who is the chief merchandising officer at HSN. And Rob and I are going to talk a little bit about HSN, and in particular, its live commerce model and some of the exciting things that it has in the works. So thanks for joining me today, Rob.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm happy to be here.
So I think most in our audience are familiar with HSN, and I mentioned you're the chief merchandising officer. So I think probably most are familiar with that type of role. So I'm going to kind of jump right into the questions in terms of what I wanted to get into around live shopping and video commerce. And tell us a little bit about HSN and why it's made those two things in particular, live shopping and video commerce, core to its business model.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I think there's been such a big conversation about live shopping. It just sort of feels like maybe it just emerged in the last few years. But, you know, maybe what people don't know is HSN actually has been around for more than 40 years in this space. We were actually the first in the space, which is kind of interesting in that we've lasted through what is pretty big evolution of live shopping through the last four decades is a pretty remarkable, I think, nod to the leadership of our company and kind of how this area of shopping has evolved. But, you know, for us, it's even more relevant today because I think when you think about consumers' consumption of video content and kind of how that has evolved over the last, you know, I want to say 10 years, but honestly, I think the pandemic sort of catapulted everybody's consumption of video content. I think live shopping has now become so important in the vernacular and how consumers shop. I mean, you know, there's a role for brick and mortar retail, and there's a role for transactional e-commerce retail. But what we love and where we find the most power is in allowing customers to sort of be entertained at the same time as they, you know, shop. And that's always been a tenet of what we've done. And I think it's just more relevant than it ever has been today. And I think the emergence of social media and the emergence of influencers and creators have made this space even more dynamic and more exciting than frankly it's ever been in the last 40 years. So we're excited to kind of be that pioneer, but also we're thinking about how do we evolve the business model to stay relevant in an even more competitive space than it's ever been.
So you make a great point, Rob, in terms of many people, including myself, really have associated HSN with that traditional cable linear TV shopping experience. That's evolved. And, you know, the brand is moving into other platforms in addition to remaining core to its, you know, traditional cable roots. Tell us a little bit about some of those platforms and some of those new channels where you're utilizing this video commerce model.
Yeah, no problem. You know, what's interesting is I always like to tell people, you know, over 50% of our business is done digitally. And of that, over 60% of it is done through our mobile app. And so you sort of said it, but, you know, there is this perception that today, you know, we've always been a linear broadcast, platform. And the reality is we've really evolved into a major digital player, direct to consumer digital player. And so that evolution has happened probably over the last 10 years. And that isn't to say that the linear cable isn't our biggest marketing vehicle. I like to always tell people, you know, in the end, this is why billions of dollars are spent on television advertising. There is power in being in front of 80 million households every single day with products and ideas. So it's still a big marketing vehicle. But what we've done, you know, so there was, you know, the evolution to the web, which was super important as the consumer changed there. Then there was the evolution to the app, which was super important. And now we're very focused both on social as well as other emerging linear platforms. So YouTube TV is, you know, a linear platform. It may not be cable, but it is a place where consumers are now spending their day finding the programs and spending their time. And that's an area that we're really pushing into. And then the biggest push we've made in the last couple of years is really around streaming. You know, again, pandemic changed a lot of us and a lot of things. But I would say that, you know, from a TV viewership, that the seismic change towards streaming that happened over the last, you know, 4 years has been pretty dramatic. And so we now have a new organization called Video Commerce Ventures that's really looking to monetize and think about how do we take advantage of streaming, because it's just where people are spending their time and in a really different way. It's also a place where they're not necessarily shopping. So we're doing it in streaming what we did, you know, for cable broadcasts, you know, 40 years ago when nobody shopped on TV through their cable box either. We're now thinking about how do we sort of, get the consumer there to, in terms of commerce. But what we always think about is we want to be everywhere where she's consuming video content. You know, that is our mantra as a company, because it's in those places that she has an openness to sort of consume information, education and demos and brand stories and product stories. And that's where, you know, we're kind of putting our focus, and it's just become much more disparate than it ever has in the past.
So I want to follow up on that and that last point about being able in all these different mediums, the ability to kind of tell that brand and also that product story and kind of get to know a little bit about the brand or the product. So tell us a little bit about the formula at HSN for determining the brands you choose to work with. And it may differ between linear TV versus some of the streaming platforms. Maybe there's some overlap there. Talk about that kind of process. And then what in your eyes makes a successful brand partnership for HSN?
It's funny, my team, you know, so I obviously as chief merchant, I have the buying team, and it's I would say it's a bit of an art that is trained within my team to sort of, when you see a brand, we almost immediately know whether it's going to work. And so I like to talk about sort of the four pillars of that we look for when it comes to brands. And at the start of it is a brand and a product that has a story to tell. Not every product and not every brand has a deep narrative. And our platform, all platforms, whether it's streaming or it's our linear or social or YouTube TV, that's what we do. We amplify those stories and we engage the customer in an entertaining format that gets her in and locks her in. And then, you know, what we also are experts at is then how do we convert her to basically go online or go to the app and pick up the product. So it always really does start with the brand that has a story to tell. It also requires, uniquely from every other sort of retail platform, a storyteller. And, you know, that's sometimes easy to find, and it's not always easy to find. You know, some entrepreneurs, you know, when we find them, are extraordinary storytellers who can tell their brand story and their product story better than anybody. But there are also entrepreneurs who have trouble doing that necessarily. And we find brands who have educators who can do that, and we have brands who have educators that don't do that. And the storyteller I describe as a little bit of a unicorn. They literally, you know, have to feel comfortable in a non-scripted environment, staring at a camera with a red light on it, talking to 84 million households live, which is not for everybody. They have to be a salesperson because they are out there selling, but not overly sell. They have to be an educator and someone who can explain the product without complicating it so much that they lose them. They have to be connected to the brand so deeply that they talk as though it's their own. And they have to be willing to travel to St. Petersburg, you know, on an often basis. So that storyteller becomes a critical part of what we look for. And do we have that? The third is that we really like a why to buy. You know, we are direct response. We're direct response in all of our platforms. So direct response means you have to have a reason to act now and to act with urgency. And so, you know, we really work with our brands and with our brand partners to sort of flesh that out. Why is she going to pick up? Why is she going to act now? What's going to be the hook? And having that's pretty important. And then the last is just something that really suits our audience. You know, our model is based on dollars per minute. We have to aggregate large, which we do, large audiences and products and brands that bring in new customers, because we love new customers, but also need to satisfy our existing customers, are the ones that we really look for to win.
That actually is something I wanted to follow up on in terms of, you know, so you have those pillars and you want the brand to be able to kind of check all those boxes. Not easy. It's not for everyone, right? So talk about the process for when you do find somebody that is able to check those boxes and the brand and the product resonates with the audience. Thinking about that, but also thinking about bringing newness and freshness into your merchandising mix to attract new audience as well. So there's kind of that balance. I imagine that's kind of an ongoing conversation that you and your team are having, right?
Totally. I mean, in the end, you know, every business needs to have the top of the funnel be filled every year, and we need to find new customers, and we need to make sure that, you know, they're coming in on us. And so it is this real balance. You know, our business model is built on a very, very loyal and avid, you know, customer base, right? Much of our business, over 50%, is done with a very, very small number of women. So you know, it's got to be this balance, because we know we need to satisfy her and we want to make sure that she sees things that she's really excited about as the time, as we're bringing in things that we hope will sort of bring in a new customer. We focus our new customer acquisition also not just on every customer, you know, because our format isn't for every customer, right? So the way we sell requires an investment in time, in the consumption of information, in being entertained and creating a connection. And so when we think about new customer acquisition, we always put that lens on it. We look for high value customers who want to engage in the kind of shopping that we provide. And the good news is, you know, over the last, I sort of, you know, sort of started this with the idea that live shopping has just become more pervasive. I do think we're finding a lot more people who are interested in this type of selling and this type of platform. So that's really, you know, bodes well for us in terms of new customer acquisition.
So tell us about that live shopping experience, specifically what the customer, you know, their interaction, their engagement, how they're participating. Tell us how those work and what you're seeing from your customer in terms of those, some of those live shopping events that you're producing on an ongoing basis.
You never know what you're going to get, which is part of it. So, you know, I guess the first thing is it's just a spontaneous experience. And, you know, we do have some pre-recorded hours in the overnights, and our customers, frankly, never want anything to be pre-recorded. They love the spontaneity that comes from the interaction between host and guest and models and how that all plays out. It feels so authentic to them. So I think it's like that spontaneity is really exciting, and that's what the customer really loves. I also think, you know, what's pretty magical about our model is the connection that the customer has to our guests and to our hosts. You know, if you, we just celebrated a 40-year anniversary of Bobby Ray Carter, who's one of our incredible hosts. Just imagining like 40 years of creating relationships with our customers who still adore her and love her, and who turned in droves to her anniversary show. You know, a lot of times our customers view, you know, these hosts and guests as being real friends and people that they really want to sort of tune in to watch. And that's a really special part of our model that doesn't get built overnight. That is why, you know, 40 years of history sort of helps a great deal. So I think there's that human connection. And then it's about the entertainment, you know, this is TV. And so between our brand partners and the assets we create, we always tell people, you know, we want to make great TV every day. We have to have people out there who are entertaining and exciting. We have to have products that people get excited to sort of watch and see how it comes out. You know, whether it's a cooking show where they get to make a recipe with a great kitchen electric that happens to be the Today special. Or, you know, today we happen to be doing a 12 hour live stream on crafts, not on our linear broadcast. It's only going to be on YouTube, Facebook, and on our streaming apps, where we're going to be doing 12 hours of unique and differentiated projects and products. That's going to get her, you know, and the crafter is a very avid customer who just loves to get more information and loves to shop. So today's a big experiment of how that's going to work across different platforms.
So you talk about that loyalty that you've kind of engendered, and those customers that are spending specifically on the linear TV side that are tuning in day after day, and they're, you know, they feel like they've created these relationships with your hosts and the brands that are being sold on the platform, that, you know, that is very hard to attain, and that's something that so many different retailers and brands are going after. What as you think about that loyalty piece, what are some of the other metrics? I obviously that engagement that you're looking at as you track and evaluate the effectiveness of not only your linear TV broadcast, but also some of those platforms you just mentioned, YouTube and Facebook and some of your streaming apps where you're trying to engage this, you know, potentially a different customer. What are you looking at there?
I mean, it all starts, you know, again, with engagement. So engagement meaning, you know, the only way that live shopping works is aggregating large audiences at a moment in time. And so we look very hard at viewership. On our more traditional views, we look at minutes viewed on things like streaming. We look at, you know, minutes viewed on things like YouTube, as well as engagement that we see in our streaming on our social apps, because the model requires it. So there's, you know, any great product, any great story, any great offer, any great value never works unless we aggregate those audiences. So we keep a very keen eye on what we see in viewership and how we can aggregate audiences. And we learn every day about it. Just like a television, network, right, that sort of tries to create must-see TV on Thursday nights with the right lineup of products that create a viewership curve that keeps her engaged throughout the day. We do that same thing at HSN. So viewership's super important. And then, of course, we measure conversion, which is obviously how do we, once we have her there and once we have the aggregated audience, how well do we do at converting, which is a combination, obviously, of the quality of the product we showed, the value that we're doing, how well the education, the demos, and the entertainment went to keep her engaged, and that trigger, you know, that comes. So we look at conversion rates, but we also look at dollars per minute. So every minute, when you're a finite, we have a finite amount of resources, right? We have a finite amount of airtime. There's only 24 hours in a day. So we look at how do we maximize every single minute of every single hour of every single day to drive the most amount of volume we can in that period of time. So that also becomes a pretty critical metric too. And then I would just say that we also look very carefully at sort of product quality, because again, that loyalty comes from making sure that we're sort of constantly measuring and monitoring kind of our reviews and ratings, any low star reviews, why those are happening, you know, really paying attention to then the feedback from the customer to make sure she's really happy with what she ended up getting. Because when you're in direct response, it's very important because people are acting on an impulse. And if you can deliver on the quality, once it gets to her, she's really happy. If you don't deliver on the quality in that impulse moment, she gets really disappointed. So we always focus on the experience.
Yeah, you lose that trust, right, if you don't have the quality. As you're talking, Rob, I'm thinking just the massive volume of data that you're collecting, not only on the audience, but the product data and how that is potentially utilized as you think about merchandising mix. Tell us a little bit about that as you think about data and how that plays into decision-making around what you and your team and the products that you're putting forth.
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, I will say.
Because you have so much of it, right? Distilling it down to what really matters can be a challenge, I would think.
No, it really is. So we do try very hard to, because, up on my screen, I have real-time reporting. I literally know what the customer is shopping for and what she's buying, what she's reacting to in this hour of this particular day. And that's pretty amazing, when you think about it. And it serves us really well. And that's we do put that focus on it, which is because the customer evolves so much. What was really fascinating for me as we went through the pandemic and the fact that we have all this data, I really, and I did a lot of conversations with the press and media around this, is like, we actually saw exactly where her mindset was going, like through the pandemic, of seeing like cleaning supplies. And then when the cleaning sort of started to go down, and then food, because she didn't have access to food. And then it went to decorating her home because she was home by herself and our apparel went down. We have this fascinating ability to literally know where her brain is at this moment in time and react to it. And so we will react in real time every day to the data that's coming in, which is pretty much, we look at, the dollars per minute, which is the ultimate gauge of what she's reacting to. And we'll reassort the store and we'll reassort hours every single day from start to finish, making sure that we're maximizing and we're really leaning into what she wants this very minute in time. So it's really amazing. And then obviously we use a lot of that data going forward to think about like, well, what do we want to evolve and how do we want to change for next year and next season, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a great example of how you're really operating in such a dynamic environment and how you're making decisions quickly and operating in kind of an agile method. My final question for you, Rob, will be, as you talk about going forward, you just mentioned it, and thinking about, what are the ways that you and your team can help continue to improve upon what you're doing in terms of video commerce at HSN, both from the viewer's perspective, how can you continue to improve what they're getting from the business, is also and thinking about, obviously, what you can bring back to the bottom line as well for the business.
We're really focused right now on kind of the content experience that she sees, because I do think the type of content and the type of video that she's used to now is very different than what we have always done, whether it's in her social platforms that she loves and spends a ton of time on, or it's in streaming. Like, we're kind of really pushing the envelope on how we present ourselves to the customer in a new, in different way. And that does start with the broadcast, because again, that's, the bulk of our business is where she's tuning in the most. So we're reinventing our sets. We're reinventing the way that we sell. We're reinventing how we think about blocking and camera angles that help modernize the way that she sort of views our cable broadcast. And then we're thinking about every day, how does that basic idea then translate into each of the sort of other content vehicles she's using in the way that she likes to view it. So it's like everything is different. So you take that product story and how we're selling it on linear, how it appears on Instagram and on TikTok and on Facebook and on streaming are all very different. So it's become pretty complicated for the business. It used to be one thing that you could just blow out to all sorts of ideas. We're now having to be much more innovative, much more creative, much more thoughtful, and building capabilities and skills across all of those areas that say, this is what really works. And I'd say, like everybody, we're just testing and learning constantly, right? That's all you can do in a really fast-paced, evolving content world. We're just trying our best to always be creative and always be at the leading edge.
Yeah, because I would think in your particular business, you know, you had these, you know, hour blocks that you talked about, you know, where you were a half hour block where you have a particular host with an entrepreneur that, you know, started a brand and they're selling that product. That's a lot of time. And, you know, it's not all consumers are going to give you that time, right? They're not going to tune in for an hour or a half hour, but they might on their phone, you know, for watch a 30 second or a minute Instagram video or, you know, so thinking about that and kind of getting the value in what used to be maybe an hour block or half hour block into these kind of micro moments. Is that something you're thinking about probably every day, right?
Yeah. I mean, we think of, you know, short format as being super critical now. Like we're long format today in our linear broadcast, but we've got to get short format. And short format is also like I sort of said, like really different on depending on which platform you're on, which you want to consume. So we do have short format on most of our items on the web. So if you do, or in our apps, so you don't have to watch a 30-minute presentation. You can see a 2-minute quick buy, which is then translated into a different style that we would present on our Instagram feed, which is then a different style than we would do on streaming. So, you know, it's complicated. It's become yeah. such a complicated world. And because of how she's consuming content and video has completely changed.
Well, I've really enjoyed the opportunity to speak with you about this, Rob. I want to take the opportunity to thank Rob Robillard, again, who is the Chief Merchandising Officer at HSN, for joining us on this episode of Total Retail Talks. Thank you for the time, Rob.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, please check out our podcast channel page at mytotalretail.com/podcasts for show notes. Total Retail Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe on our podcast channel page as well. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a few moments to rate and review this podcast. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Total Retail Talks.